Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, sultry, hot New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the space shuttle. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall from Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Well, I'm not quite as sultry, obviously, as it is there where you are, but nonetheless, I'm doing great.
You were out at the NYIB last week in San Diego. You were the star of the show. Tell us about it.
Well, actually, the star of the show is always the youth that we reach for financial literacy. But what we were able to do, we celebrated with these financial educators from across the country, and we have record-keeping-wise, we have recorded about 500,000 youth that credit unions have educated last year. And
wow.
So this year our goal is 1 million. And the strange thing about it is that we know that there are a number of other individuals who do financial education for youth, but they fail to report to our system. And so, so I make a pitch now for those folks who are out there, these educators who are doing youth programs, please report your information to the National Youth Involvement Board. It goes so long and it goes so well for us from an industry perspective to be able to use that as very powerful information when we're speaking with legislators and we're speaking with others where we can affect the difference as to, you know, why we were really formed in that whole concept of people helping people. So that's kind of what we were doing. Oh. So I was definitely not the star of the show. I did a presentation out there, which was really great. I love working with those people. It's just really a lot of fun. So thanks.
Well, I've had an opportunity to talk to some of the folks that were out there, and actually you were the star of the show.
Oh.
I saw your picture out there for the, what was it, the CU Commit to Be Fit. You guys did a run one morning. I saw you in the picture.
Yes.
I said, Troy probably dusted everybody off. It's just been a great week talking to people.
Notice
about
that if you saw the picture, you noticed I was laying on the ground. Did you notice that?
when they did the
photo where they had all these stacked areas, and I went, oh my god, I'm the oldest one here, I should lay down. So I did.
Well, you might have been the oldest, but I heard you were one of the fastest. Hey folks, it is August 7th, 2013. Every August, the first week of August, I think about a big shout out because I promised them I would do it on my Facebook page. I promised I would a big shout out Alpha Company, 4th Battalion, 21st Infantry, 3rd Brigade, 7th Infantry Division, Light. I arrived at Fort Ord, California 27 years ago week to start the crucible of mental and physical toughness. I will never forget when I arrived at 140 pounds. Everybody looked at me like, what are you doing here? You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. You'll never make it here. I didn't just serve at the 7th ID. I excelled. The greatest professional experience of my life. Had no idea when I signed into 4th Battalion, 21st Infantry, that my company commander, Captain Townsend, would today, as we're sitting here today talking on the show, be the 2-star general of the acclaimed 10th Mountain Division, Major General Captain Townsend up there at Fort Drum, New York. Just an amazing professional experience. You know, Troy, in many ways, that professional experience I had in the military mirrors the professional experience you've had up to this point. It's all about execution and practice and doing things the right way. And for the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about how you take that social media discipline that didn't exist 20 years ago in 1986 and make it something that the audience of your members and customers will appreciate.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, you know, and giving a little shout out in that regard. And, you know, and certainly from the, you know, military perspective, I'm not sure there's a civilian career that probably ever matches up to what our folks do for the military and that whole preparation. But I think that if what we can liken to the, you know, the environment that I have here versus the environment you were speaking of is that the opportunity for success of an organization is a practiced discipline over and over again. And it takes, and you probably know this, but it takes 10,000 hours of practice to become an expert.
Absolutely.
So that is the that's the mark kind of out there as the benchmark to folks. So if you kind of want to know the difference between a person who's just kind of playing around and a person who's an expert, when you log 10,000 hours, you know that you've become an expert at something. And so, you know, but anyway, in that regard, and I think that how it relates to businesses is that we need to be practicing. So we need to log our hours. We need to log that practice, much like in the way the musical metaphor that we use here is that, you know, you don't practice a song and then
That's
you
right.
go and play it. You kind of wonder, well, why doesn't it sound good? You know, you get up on a Saturday night and you sing karaoke and you want to know why you don't sound like Carrie Underwood. Well, guess what? You didn't practice 10,000 hours. You know, maybe that could be a reason. Could be something
well,
that God
you
gave
you
the gift, but that's another story altogether. But
I agree with you. I agree with you. And I'm glad that you brought the musical metaphor. It is the show, the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if you're a brand or a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? 10,000 hours of practice is absolutely necessary. For Troy and myself, we typically need about 10 seconds of preparation on this
yeah,
show.
That's exactly right. I'm definitely into a much smaller number of doing that. And by the way, when you say that the next time, you need to say it like this. You need to say it with an accent because it'll sound so much nicer when you say, if you're a brand or a band, would you keep the audience wanting more?
If you're not familiar with the show, if you've never been a guest on the show, what Troy is referring to is when we're listening in the pre-show, we have this very sultry Australian voice that counts down every minute to the start of the show. Your show will start in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's very, very nice. Great way to get the show. Hey, listen, today on the show, we're going to talk to Stephen Yancey. He is the social media from GTE Financial. He is a social media guru, intentionally engaging the social media audience at GTE Financial. Earlier this year, they went over 10,000 likes on their Facebook page, and last time I checked, it was over 11,000. They're doing
awesome.
Things the right way. Our social media reality check this week is all about doing it the right way. Last week, we talked and we cajoled about, you know, Troy, I talk about this all the time. If I sound like a cynic when it comes to social media, it's because of my age. For the overwhelming majority of my professional life, I did not have access to LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and all the other stuff that we take for granted today. So sometimes I come off as a guy that doesn't believe in social media, but I do when it's done the right way, and I think you understand that.
Oh, I mean, I absolutely do that because, you know, bottom line, when you talk about age, for instance, you have to keep in mind that I do trump you in that particular category. So, you know, these things were not available necessarily to me. Remember, the idea of a telephone for me was two tin cans with a string attached between. So, you know, in that regard. And I just want to tell you, I'm so glad you introduced Stephen as a guru, because I want to let you know that I am going to sit in a namaste position until he comes.
Well, I'll tell you what, he'll be ready to do it all. Hey, folks, when we come back from the break, it's going to be Stephen Yancey. He is rocking and rolling, the dynamic, constantly updated, intentionally engaging the social media audience of GTE Financial, and we'll talk about it all right after this.
We all think we're making great strides, that we've come a long way, and unfortunately, when you really do look at the numbers, it's a bit of a shocker.
About 17% of all credit unions are run by women. What about the big credit unions?
Well, unfortunately, it drops to 15%. So again, the progress we've made there is still insignificant.
Teresa Freeborn, CEO of Exceed Financial Credit Union.
I subscribe to the Chinese proverb of women hold up half the sky.
Join us Wednesday, August 21st at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time for a very eye-opening and honest discussion about where we really are with women's leadership in America circa 2013.
That is right. In 2 weeks, August 21st, Troy and I are going to host an hour-long special about where we really are with women in leadership. Teresa Freeborn, a guest on our show many, many times, and here we are almost 11 minutes into the show, and because I don't always remember to do it, it is time to thank our sponsor, Marquee. Before you go into the future unprepared, the brand with the best data is going to win. And if you want the best data, you want to know how to find it, how to deploy it, how to make it meaningful. Before you go anywhere, gomarquee.com, G-O-M-A-R-Q-U-I-S, gomarquee.com. And right now it is my absolute pleasure to welcome to the radio show. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Good, guys. How are we?
We're great. We're great.
Thankfully, you're on the show now, so I can release myself.
I was going to be disappointed if I didn't get a round of applause.
I'm telling you.
Our studio audience, our studio audience represents the, what's the right way to say this? Maybe the lowest intelligence variable on Earth. We paid him $10 an hour to be here. Hey, listen, Stephen, you have an audience. We Troy and I brag all the time about how every week over 1,000 people listen to our show, and we're proud of that. Believe me, we love that. You have
audience
every day of 11,000 fans who have liked what you do on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. But chances are, when you were in high school, no one told you there would ever be a career that you could make a living at managing the social media sites of a large credit union. Tell us how your career path has brought you to this point at GTE Financial.
I think my parents are still kind of confused on what I do. I think when I tell them that I just do Facebook and Twitter all day, they're like, wait, what?
What?
We paid for you to go to college for what? No, it's funny because I came up in the broadcasting industry. So I did regular TV and radio for 7 years. And what's happened in just the way that we communicate in general as people is I think we're always so used to turning to TV and to the radio to receive information. That was or newspapers. That was really like your main source. But now there's everything. I mean, you've got the internet. You've got podcasts, things like this. You know, everyone's got a dang YouTube video of themselves out there now. So it's funny how the way that media has turned kind of took the centralized location of information and put it in everyone's hands. So what we found and what I found growing up is that the jobs of pushing out information went from a select few to now everybody has got to be a broadcaster. Every company needs someone that can be a broadcaster inside of their walls. And so that's kind of how this path has progressed to now here we are at GTE Financial.
And I really like what you said when you talked about the broadcasting perspective, because so much of what happens in the connection between an organization, its brand, its representation, its experience, and the consumer is really driven by relationship. It's driven by the connectivity that the individual has with that particular organization. It's why they will choose to potentially do more work. And so I want to talk a little bit about your Facebook, and because of this timely, the way it works and the dynamics of Facebook, and that relationship needs to stay current in that. So, and you know that Facebook is a 24/7 kind of program. So
right.
How exactly do you work it? So like what happens for you in this process? Are you ever asleep?
I decided to give up sleep for this job. That really was
the
requirement.
Really.
I mean, it's true, though. And I think that's why – thank you. There it goes. I think – I think a lot of people have a problem with that because, unfortunately, social media never turns off. You know, I think that most of us expect to walk into an 8 to 5 and walk away. And I think that with a lot of credit union social media, you almost see it that way as a, okay, we're going to come in and, you know, we've got to have billboards up. We've got to have, you know, whatever your marketing channels are. And people kind of see social media. It's just a regular marketing channel when it's really not. You're right. It's 24/7. So my day really consists of get up in the morning. You got to check it. You got to see what's coming overnight. You get in. You put your strategy together for the day of how your posts are going to go. And then really what you find is that most of your best time to connect actually happens off the clock. Because that's when your membership, that's when your potential, even your potential members, want to be able to connect with you. So it never stops.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Stephen,
I was going to follow up here for 1 second, Jason. And so do you get, like, automatic feeds that come to you so that you know when people post so that you're a little more aware of it? Does it come to your phone so that you're, like, on the top of it, or do you have to always physically check it?
So everything comes to my phone directly. We use a few different tools to make sure that I'm always getting notifications when things happen. And that's the problem with social media too. Let's turn that around. That's one of the it could be a benefit because your members and your potential members have an expectation on social media to get an answer pretty quick. It definitely gives you that connection 24/7, which depends on which way you want to look at it, good or bad. You know,
well,
on Friday night at 11 o'clock at night, you're like, oh, man, you know. But that's how it goes.
I follow you guys on Facebook. I watch what you guys do all the time. I'm fascinated by what you just said, that it never closes. I've seen posts from your members at 2 o'clock in the morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning. It just doesn't matter. There are a lot of credit unions, obviously, that are on Facebook that I follow. I probably follow close to 20 credit unions on Facebook that don't get anywhere near the conversations that you get. Every time you guys punch something up there on Facebook or Twitter, you get tons of likes and retweets and stuff like that. If you had all the credit unions in America assembled before you and you were giving them advice on how to make the most of their social media time, what would you tell them?
Wow. Well, since you set me up as the guru, you know, that's that's a big title to live up to. So I feel like this has got to be some you're going to meditation for some social media meditation.
Yeah, a little namaste. Sorry about that. Okay. Good. I'm good.
Okay, we're good now. The biggest thing to remember with social media is it just cannot be product pushing. And you've got to keep that in mind. When you're in a marketing department, I don't know who handles your social media, but you just have to keep in mind that people don't go on social media to have products pushed at them. You know, if we want to take the analogy of TV and radio, like we were talking about earlier, imagine tuning into your favorite radio show, of course, which is this one. Imagine tuning into this podcast, and all you guys were doing the whole time was pushing products. You know, you wouldn't have a connection. There's no way to make a connection if people feel like you're selling them a product, and that's the only intention you have on your social media. And I see that a lot with a lot of credit unions because that's what we're trained to do. You know, as a marketing department, especially because we have a, you know, here at GTE we have a marketing department, and that's our job is to push product. But people on social media don't want to be pushed products. They're there to look at friends' pictures. They're there to be kind of a voyeuristic kind of thing. And they're there to be able to connect with you on a personal level. So that's almost the challenge that you have as a credit union social media, whatever you want to call yourself, mediator or whatever, is you've got to find a way to make the product pushing come off in a very personal and friendly way. And I don't see a ton of that. I see more of, hey, our rates today are this, you know.
Absolutely.
That's not what I get on Facebook. I don't know about you guys, but I don't get onto Facebook to find out what the rates are today. But I'll tell you this, and this is where I try to explain, even internally we have some issues, you know, I'm trying to understand the full scope of our social platform. But I guarantee you that when these people that are interacting with our page, they're liking our content, when it's time for them to go look for an auto loan, I guarantee you that GTE is going to be one of the top ones because they've been connecting with us so many times.
You're exactly right, because for us, the social media extends the conversation that was not available to us before. It's part of what Jason said in the very beginning about these things. You know, we didn't know that we would be extending conversations through this electronic media. In the past, the only way to do the conversations would have been face-to-face, or when the telephone was invented, then you could kind of go the telephone. Then we've expanded to faxes and pagers and things. But now this is so much more immediate in our connection. And people are willing to say a lot of things when they connect with an organization. They say sometimes good things. Sometimes they say bad things. They don't say very good things. And we have a philosophy that unless it contains a bad word, we don't take it down, and I don't think you guys do either. So do you keep up, like, if somebody doesn't say anything really positive about your organization, do you hide it or do you keep it up there?
Oh, no, we keep it up there. I think that's actually one of the greatest things that can happen on your social media page. And I know that makes a lot of people cringe because they're like, well, wait a minute, it's bad about us and what we're doing. To me, I see it as an opportunity to show how your credit union is taking care of their members. So here's the thing. If you know, and there's sometimes nothing can be done. You know, like maybe somebody in one of your branches is screwed up. Maybe something has just gone wrong. And sometimes it's, you know, just to show that realistic side of, listen, we messed up. We want to try to make this better. Just basically how your – it's just a great area for you to showcase how your credit union handles unhappy situations. And I explained this to someone a few weeks ago about why I think that area is so important, and it's so important to have negative feedback left up there, is because when people go to search your brand, one of your first things that's going to pop up on Google is your social media pages. And if they're coming in as a new member and they're seeing all this, because usually with ours is how it works, is, you know, somebody posts, oh, something happened bad, and we're able to then show a track record of how we actually handled it. Oh, you know, hey, Mr. So-and-so, so sorry this happened. Let's get on the phone with you and figure out how to fix it. You know, then we'll follow up with that one saying, oh, so glad we can make things better for you today. And then the member goes back and actually says stuff like, oh, thank you so much. You guys are the greatest. I mean, you can't get any better than that. For the angry member that had come back as one of your advocates is really powerful.
Wow. Wow. Hey, listen, folks, we're visiting with Stephen Yancey. He is the voice. He is the guru of the social media sites out at GTE Financial. This is the social media reality check. If you're, it's so simple. Do what the great credit unions do. Do what the great brands do with their social media sites. When we come back from the break, I'm going to ask Stephen about this amazing musical competition that they had, and we'll do it all right after this.
Your eyes and listen to the music, dig to the summer breeze. It's a groovy night and I can show you how to use it. Come along with me and put your mind at ease. Less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more back, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more fun. Close your mouth and open up your heart and maybe satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby. Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start a walk apart. Come on, come on,
come on, come on.
Come on, come on,
come on, come on.
Come on, come on,
come on, come on.
Don't procrastinate, don't let things get in front of you.
Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more, where the talk is hot but the hosts are
hotter, much hotter, sizzling, sultry,
much hotter. Just think your favorite magazine cover. Troy and I would be on it, being so much hotter than the people that you're accustomed to seeing.
All of a sudden, we have now turned this into the wrong. Let's go.
Well,
Stephen, rescue us. Stephen,
yeah,
Stephen,
please,
help
yeah.
us. Social media disaster. This is a train wreck. Help us.
I'm enjoying this. You guys keep going. No, it's good.
Oh, Troy's joking because he knows. Troy and I have been doing this show for a long time. And what Troy knows more than anybody else is that I pushed the wrong button on the break. But that's not the first time I've pushed the wrong button. But, hey, listen. You guys,
normally you do it with people. Thank God you do it with the computer.
Yeah, very, very, very. Hey, I made it all the way through Twitter Tuesday yesterday without irritating anybody. Hey, listen, Stephen. If people that listen to this show know this, I call myself a Southerner. I'm from Texas. I'm from the South.
Right.
I'm proud of it. But my parents, both my parents, my beloved mom and my beloved dad, John and Arlene Dias, were born in Fall River, Massachusetts. And
oh, wow.
So because of that experience, to this very day, I am an unapologetic Red Sox fan. The nemesis of the Red Sox over the past few years have been the Tampa Bay Rays. You guys just did one of the greatest online competitions I have ever witnessed. I mean, I gave up American Idol 3 years ago, but I have been all over your national anthem competition. You guys put it out there and said, hey, if you live in Tampa Bay, you want to sing the national anthem at a Rays game, send us a video. Our members and our customers are going to vote on you. One of the best competitions I've ever seen done online. Tell us about the Facebook role and your sing the national anthem at the Rays game competition that you guys just did.
It really went over well. We were nervous when we launched it, just because we weren't sure what the response was going to be, but it turned out to be big. So once again, you know, we're really big on engaging in social media, obviously. And just like with you, and I'm sure your credit union, your bank, is you have partnerships. And ours, of course, is with the Rays. And so they came to us and they said, listen, you know, we've got a few experiences you can give away. And one of them was singing at the Rays game. So we said, how do we take this social? So we said, let's open this up to everybody. This is not just a credit union thing, but let's open this up to anybody in Tampa Bay that wants to be a part of that awesome experience. So we just asked for anyone in this area to record a video of them singing the national anthem and to upload it to an app that we had on our Facebook page. And then everybody got a chance to come in and vote on which person they thought was the best. It was really a huge success for us socially, just because once all of the not only the people that participated in the contest, but then they told all of their friends, of course, to come and check out the contest and vote for them, which is only putting so many more eyes on our social media pages. You know, it's like an easy win because all these people want to go vote for their friends, and then here they are connecting with us on social media. So it's a very, very, very big success. It's a fun contest, definitely a fun one to do for sure.
Well, the thing that you'll find is that gaming and these types of participative activities are definitely going to distinguish the folks who play in the game and those who sit on the sidelines. And we do, through our initiative to reach the 18 to 25-year-old, we have done programs like Last Band Standing.
That's cool.
And we've done, I forget the other name, but it has to do with the fans. And it was where you took a photograph. We actually did this. We said, moms, take photographs with your kids while at your high school game and send us the pictures of moms and their kids. And the idea was for us to kind of create that relationship between moms and kids. We know that's a very strong relationship. We know that moms are very important. And, of course, as we go on to talk about women leadership here on August the 21st, it kind of ties in. You know, we see this trend happening. We know that women actually make a lot more of the decisions about what happens in a household than the male does. And so, you know, we kind of did that. And guess what? We, just like what you were talking about for the national anthem, it kind of blew out of the water.
Right.
And, but it's finding something relevant. And that's the thing that I wanted to say, that really, as we kind of wrap this up, what you're doing is making social media relevant. You aren't trying too hard. What folks don't want is for people to just do it as a check mark. They don't want to do it as, okay, I kind of been told that I need to be doing this, so I guess I'll just go out and do the best darn thing I can. They want it to be that it's authentic. They want it to be genuine. They want it to be that it's a part of, it's an extension of who I am, because that's the way the brand should always be. Every encounter with the consumer should always be an extension, no matter what delivery channel it is. So when you've taken that into that role, that's what you shared with us today. You've helped those folks get a grounded sense of understanding that social media is not just a box you check off. It becomes an integration. It becomes part of the fiber, part of everything you do. And Stephen, I really appreciate the way, you know, you kind of sharing this stuff. You know, and I will tell you about the angry member, the angry person who has that experience. I will say this when I do sales training and specifically one-on-one training with our frontline folks, and I will say this. You are always judged by how you've handled the difficult member, not by the easy one. Because
Absolutely.
Guess what? Everybody gets a pass on the easy one. Who couldn't handle a happy person?
That's right.
I mean, really, who could not handle a happy person? Unless you're not a happy person, and then that's another problem altogether. But the reality is that can you handle the person who's being difficult? If you can, that's when you score the points. And the points occur in the moments after the encounter, not in the moments during the encounter, because they want to know, will you extend yourself to be that same true person? If you acted like you were being helpful in the beginning, are you going to be helpful when they turn their back?
Exactly.
That's
right.
What people are watching for. And that's what we get to do in social media. People turn their back. We get to continue to keep being the right person that we're supposed to be. And I'm just blown away by just the energy that you bring to this and the stuff that you shared with us. Thank you so much.
Sure. No, thank you, guys. Like I said, and I think you said it best, and if I can leave on these words, it's just don't overthink it. You know, you are born a social person, you know, just
Absolutely.
By being yourself, being realistic,
Absolutely.
And being just a real person. And that's how you connect on social media. People, like I said, don't want to be sold. They just want to have a connection with you. So if you overthink it, that's when it starts going wrong.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what, Stephen, you've been awesome. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We want to wish you continued success in everything you do. And, you're always welcome on this show. Thanks so much for joining
us. Well, awesome. No, thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure to do, and you guys are the greatest. Thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Oh, man. We are into bonus time. Troy, I love what you just said, and this is what first started me on this journey to understand social media, maybe for the first time, with 5 years of empirical data to draw on. It is not a box that you put a check mark on. It requires daily interaction from the people that you are paying to intentionally engage that online audience. And I just think this is going to go down as one of the best interviews we've ever done.
Cool. Yes, I enjoyed today. Today was great. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, listen, folks. It is Wednesday. It's 11:33 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone, which means we are 3 minutes into bonus time. This is my last official act. I'll be on vacation for the next several days, going out to beautiful Troy. You've heard of the bucket list. I am checking off a box on my bucket list.
Ooh.
I've always been fascinated by why people pick the place to live where they live. I'm going out to the Mesa Verde National Park in southern Colorado, out in Cortez, Colorado, to find out why those Pueblo Indians lived in those beautiful cliff dwellings for 700 years and then gave it up for something else. So until next week, Troy, thank you again so much for joining us.
You're
from
welcome.
Beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
the sun still shines.
And signing off live from New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, my name is Jason Dias. And until next we speak, have a great, great week. I'm going to continue to talk until I find the button to push for the radio exit. Hey, Troy, have a great week. And we'll talk
Thanks,
to you
Jason,
soon.
You